Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for what we have right now. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God that we have, the Spirit of God that dwells within us and that can lead us. Lord, you can speak to us and we can answer. We can respond. Lord, we can be changed. Father, we do pray for our elder, Brother Jerry, this morning. Do be with him. Give him strength of heart. And Lord, help your people to grow. Give you honor and glory. Father, we now, all of us here, one together, those that are born of the Spirit of God, we want to look to you and ask for you, for your help, deliverance, comfort, edification, things that only you can give. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have some Bible verses here. We can get some clarity going. Has to do with something in my heart. It's been kind of lingering for a little bit, and the Lord has brought it back to me once again, and I felt maybe we could look into the Bible and get some clarification on the fear of God. And that's kind of where my heart's at. And I believe that the fear of God, and where is that to us today as believers? Where does that fit in to your life, your heart? Where does that fit in with faith? What does that fit in with the liberty of God? Is the fear of God something of long ago, that where men had heard the voice of God and had trembled? Is that not for us today? Have we condensed everything into to where the fear of God that we can, as Brother John mentioned, come into His presence? And he mentioned holiness. I ask you, if you saw God and if you're seeing God, do you not fear Him? When you come to Him, do you not fear Him? And I mean not to take the word fear and distort it by no means. But I'd like to, this morning, just to go through some New Testament scriptures on the fear of God. Did you know that the New Testament, that the fear of God comes with faith? Did you know it accompanies faith? Did you know that it accompanies the liberty of the Spirit of God? Did you know that? Now, I know there's a different kind of fear. We know that, and some of us here could be under this fear that I'm going to mention briefly. And this first fear that I'm going to mention to you is that you're afraid of death, of who God is. And you've never been in His presence, and by faith, you never humbled to His remedy for your sin. Some of you fear God in such a way that the wrath of God upon your life, you know that you're undone and maybe without Christ. And that's the first part of fear that the believer has shaken off through the blood of Christ. And the conscience has run and has ran far as it can from that fear and has gripped hold of another fear. And that's the fear of the Lord. And that is that if I still come to Him, and now that I can come to Him, I'm a little closer than I've ever been. And when I was lost, I was so far and so afraid. And the wrath of God was on my life, and I was afraid to die. But now that I'm not afraid to die, I fear not to not come. I want to come. And as the Christian, God has created and instilled in you the fear of God in the new birth. The Bible teaches us in Jeremiah 32 that God is there. In the new birth, it says that He would give you His fear. God has given you something and has created an absolute principle that will go along the rest of your life as a Christian. And as a Christian, it's a protector. It'll warn you and alarm you. Today, we might have what we would say, there's not much reverence for God, is there? We know that there's not much awe of the glory of God. Many people, many of the churches have fallen in this area. Many people shun the word fear. Psychiatrists are afraid and try to get this word under subjection, in other words. But this morning, I would like for us to come together with the Word of God. The world warns all about extinct animals. They're about extinct. And I'm here to say that the church, there's a warning heralding out that the fear of God is becoming absent. And that men and women think they're in the presence of God, but yet they're not obeying God. And that, my friends, is an impossibility. You cannot separate these things that we'll read today. And I want to encourage you to carry along with the fear of God. We'll read some Bible verses. And first, I would like to read in Jeremiah 32. But you don't have to, we don't have to, you don't have to turn to these Bible verses. And I believe, and I would say that I wrote a couple of thoughts for myself and maybe to share them with you, that I'm going to, by the grace of God, I'm going to die on this hill. That I will not say that you can be a Christian and walk before a holy God under the grace of God by faith and not fear Him. I'm going to say that I will not allow for my God to be lessened down to man's inventions of mine in worship. I will not condense our God down in His great holiness without sin into the inventions of man to say that we can continue in sin and distort grace. But my friends, brothers and sisters, if we have been born of the Spirit of God and we walk in the Spirit of God, that fruit that is born, the love, joy, and all the things that we proclaim, meekness, faith, do you not know that it's accompanied by and it's near kin is the fear of God? The more I see of God is all of who He is, but those two things are inseparable. And quite frankly, I'm thankful that I have it. I'm thankful for the fear of God in the heart of man. Very thankful this morning. It's new covenant life. It's part of the Spirit-filled life, safeguarding from error and of the flesh. Let me explain real quickly. People say, by faith, I believe in Jesus Christ. By faith, I will worship the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, man and women, and we see this all over, are turning to an experience, but yet their lives are not holy lives. And I'm going to say you cannot separate this, and I will die on this hill. You cannot be Spirit-filled and have a great experience, a great ecstasy of the Spirit of God, and live an unholy life. It's an impossibility. And might I say that God says it's an impossibility. The Bible teaches us very clear to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And I want to encourage us today, and some might be so far from this, but it is New Testament teaching. New Testament teaching. Faith and hope in the promise of God must not destroy the fear of God. We have all these great promises. Yes, and by faith we attain them. But because of God and the new birth, there's an inseparability that comes with it. The fear of God. You cannot claim by faith and hold promises without the fear of God being there because, now listen, you're in His presence, right? Remember what the Bible said before you were converted. There is no fear of God before their eyes. But now that your eyes can see God, can we say that you fear God now? There was no fear of God before your eyes. The will of God was placed before you. You'll say, no, I'll invent my own God. That's not the God I want. You see His principles. You see the commandments of God. You see the remedies of God to destroy sin. And here, we see that the Bible will teach us that faith and hope and the promises of God will not destroy the fear of God. But if I can say this, and it's only possible to go with the Scriptures with this, that it should increase. You grow in the fear of God. The more you're in the presence of God and you see His holiness, and in your mind being renewed by the Spirit of God to see what you used to not be able to see with the eye, that God is holy. And the Bible says, He that is holy, He calls us to be holy. How can we escape this thing? How can we pull back and say, I'm justified by faith? But yet, and your eyes can now see, but yet what I see, I still refuse to obey. Can that ever be such a thing called Christianity? God forbid. God forbid that we would seek out the great songs and all that to draw near to God, but still never see Him in His holiness. I think we have fallen greatly and far from it, if that's the case. God's name has been lessened down. Great many jokes have been presented in the Christian faith, hasn't it? God's name has been taken it and drug through the mud. It's easy just to make light of our Savior, of His name. Let me ask you this. As a Christian, what commandment, Ten Commandment, can you break as a Christian? What liberty do you have today? And all I know is the more I see God, the more and more I fear Him. Now, this fear don't make you run from Him. But the fear of God that's given from God and imparted into the heart of man is a protector. It makes me run to Him. Because now I see with my eyes, by faith, that my sins have been forgiven and God, in His best interest, has everything for me through His Son, and I will come. And I'm coming. And by the grace of God, I'm going to keep coming. And no matter what I see, even though I know that God don't like it, I'm going to keep coming because now my eyes have been opened. And I see the holiness of God. But I'm going to tell you, if I don't continue in that, I can't pull back. I can't pull back and say all is well. I can't continue and say Christ is on the throne of my life. Faith and hope was not meant to supersede, but to increase and support the fear of God, the fear of the Lord in your life. It was not to dissolve it. This great liberty that we have in Christ was to increase it and support it. And I think that we should honor God, reverence His name. My heart really is disturbed, and I'll admit it, by all the massive chaos with taking the Lord's name in great comedy and the great music of our day. I'm very disturbed by it. That we can have songs that do not equate to the holiness of God. My friends, I fear and tremble that God would call me His friend, and I will accept that. But I will accept and I will not lower any other standard where I bring God down to my level. But all I know in Christ Jesus, when I came and was saved, I'm going up. And I'm going further. And what I see is a higher reach from what I really am internally. All this talk, I better get to some scriptures. Jesus Christ, I would say this, that before He went to the cross, it says, who in the days of His flesh, people want to be followers of Christ, right? And when he offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, our Savior, in that he feared. What a great example of continuance, of not being shaken from the great awesome will, the great sovereignty of God, the all-knowing God. And here is Christ. It says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And we know this. It seems so elementary, but we know it's being chipped away. That you can say God loves you all you want, but if you ain't obeying him, if you don't fear God, if you fear other things higher than him, I would recommend for you to fall down in fear and tremble. I would exhort us today, if you have no fear of God in your heart for the things you do, if you can sit and watch, if you can sit and listen, if you can mock, if you can destroy God's church, I'm afraid for your life. And I'm asking you to turn and to stop. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would fear him and him only. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Hate evil. Where is your liberty? What do you have now? That is your liberty. And I'm going to show you in the Bible verses where the Bible says when Apostle Paul, remember when he was destroying the church, he got saved. And guess what? The Bible says the church was at rest. They were edified, right? But the Bible says they were walking in the fear of God and the comfort of the Holy Ghost. It's an inseparability. Inseparable for the Spirit-filled life. You'll find that Christ's resurrection, when Christ rose again and the angel appeared, the angel appeared and said, go and tell my brethren that when Christ was raised again, it says when they went with fear and joy. And I'm going to show to you, Bible, biblically speaking, you cannot separate the fruit of the Spirit of God and the fear of God. You cannot experience the great ecstasy of God. You cannot experience this without the holiness of God, without an awe and a reverence. There's so much talking today that God said this and God's doing that. But I'm telling you, there's a time and a place of which our Bible teaches that we walk in the fear of God. There's a holiness that God possesses. And we'll see these things. But that was Christ. Here in Hebrews, as I read to you, our great example. Brother Chris mentioned this a little bit. You know, when those stones, those Ten Commandments, he was mentioning those in the house of God, which is us now. I would like for us to bring us to this great place. It says, for you are not, in Hebrews 12, for you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Now God was speaking to a people, and enough's enough, it's getting too heavy. The commandments of God are so ripping into the heart of man, and they're on earth. Now I'm going to take you somewhere where we supposedly say we are. And the Bible's clear. And it says that Moses so terribly was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. And God's just giving him some of his attributes. He's just spilling out a little bit of himself. And he was in horror and shock. He was exceedingly quaking and shaking and trembling. Some of these people say no more. They're seeing God. But it says, but you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God. May I take you from earth to heaven? May I take you now to the presence of God? Now, as he says, this is you. And I, the city, the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, this is where we are. And to Jesus, might I not forget that Jesus Christ is there? Can we go there now? And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, you know, the blood of the bulls and goats that was there where he mentioned that was spread upon the cherubim? Can we go to the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city now? Let's take a journey inside the spirit of man. And it says this is where the blood of Christ is. Can you see it? Can you see that? Speaketh a lot better than that of Abel, of his sacrifice. See that refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, how much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, and of those things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Now here we go. We left heaven, we're before the presence of God, the blood of Christ in the presence of God. Oh, don't reach out and touch the ark. God's saying, I'll reach out and touch the blood of Christ. Would you do that and still live an unholy life and not fear and quake? You just came to the heavenly Jerusalem, but yet you still say that you're in Christ, have faith, and don't have to live holy, can watch, listen, and do the things you do. And as the world waxes worse, you see it. Everyone says they're Christian and don't fear God. They can listen and hear the bad stuff and turn about face and say the good stuff. But weren't you just in heaven, or did you come out? Have you left heaven? Have you left the heavenly city, the blood of the New Testament? Have you left the work of Christ? What kind of Christianity is this that we have? Think about it. It's an awesome wonder. But here we go. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom. This is where we're in, right? Born again into the kingdom of God. This is what we profess. You're walking about in this kingdom. What kind of things are you saying and doing in this kingdom of God? What is God allowing you to do now with this great liberty of yours? In this kingdom of God, there is great fear of God, because all we are is seeing Christ and who God is. How do you get away with not praying? How do you get away with not looking before the Word of God? What kind of change do you have? Why is faith left aside the fear of God? It should be increased. It's increased. The Bible says to live the rest of your time on this earth, your pilgrim, in the fear of God. Every last inch of you. You go ahead and get out of the kingdom of God. You can't stay there. They couldn't stay on earth when Moses and God was speaking on the mount. I'm going to tell you now, if you think you're in heaven, in heavenly places, and living a life of sin, I'm scared to death of you. Scared to death. Now he says this, and I'm going to, here we go, grace is inseparable from the fear of God. You cannot separate the two. If you got grace, you have fear. It's something that God did. God said under the new covenant that the fear is coming with it. You're not going to just be more just forgiven and blank stares and no affections, no love, nothing, just no holy life, just kind of a... Listen, you know that's not true. The Bible says it just like this. Let us have grace. All right? God's saying, you got to have this grace to get what you're going to see here. He says, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's New Covenant teaching. That you may serve God, reverence God. He's not your buddy. No, he's not who you condense him down. It's not a relationship like you're thinking. He's God. You're his creation. Don't let the New Age songs influence you. You don't put your hand in his hand and walk about in flowers. You see him face to face and you change into his image. He ain't coming my way. I'm going his way. And holiness is the only way that's going to be equated. Faith equated with the fear of God equals holiness. It's an accompaniment, an inseparability. We will not accept faith without holiness. It's impossible. Sing all you want. Cry all you want. But no change, no God. No change, no fear, no holiness. Without, no man shall see the Lord. Period. It's final. And the Bible will prove itself. God will reign victorious again and again. We know that. For our God is a consuming fire. Let me ask you this. Two fears. First fear, you're afraid of the wrath of God. That's where you need to be if you're lost today. But if you are a Christian, that fear changes. And I told you that in that fear, God's going to come and you run to Him. That's the New Testament teaching. You're running to God. Before, you couldn't even find Him and see Him. And now that I see Him, He's got His best interest for me. But I tell you one thing, I don't want to do wrong to Him. Before, my conscience would run. Now when God quickens the conscience, what I call this Spirit-filled living, is God, I'm going to remain. Before, I couldn't, right? God would convict you before you were saved of sin. What would you do? Try to cover it and hide it and run as far as you can. Now God says, here what I see who you are. And you say, if I walk away from this presence, this awesome wonder of His holiness, of all of who God is, where will I go? Where will you be? You must stay. You must bear out what God is showing you. You must see sin. You must see yourself. It doesn't matter what other people think. You must see this. This is the Spirit-filled Christian life mixed with faith. There's evidence. This is truth. Now, I'm going to venture into a couple Bible verses. I read to you one here in Hebrews where we're in heavenly Jerusalem. And He told us to let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We know that. But what He just said, we're not getting away from that. I got you on that one. You're tied down a little bit. Now we're going to go really into a New Testament teaching on the fear of God. And I want you to be free in this. I want you to be very clear on how this works. And I'm going to give you a couple examples. Let's turn, and if you could, turn your Bible to Psalms. The book of Psalms. I was going to take in my thoughts, like, just take, you know, there's too many. It's too many on the fear of God. Listen, for 6,000 years plus, God has been speaking to a people about fearing Him, to dread Him. And then all of a sudden we come to this where we're in the presence of God, we're forgiven, endued with the Spirit of God that doesn't sin, cannot sin, and somehow we don't have to fear no more. That's just ridiculous. That's impossible. We've been lied to. Someone's lying. We got to stop it. We got to hold the fort on this biblical truth right here in Psalm. Let me get there. Psalm chapter 2. I might have said 22. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoicing with trembling. I think that's the good call for today. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. That's the mixture. And I'll show you that in the New Testament. Those same words come along with us. They're going to come. That's New Testament living. Serve the Lord in fear and rejoice with trembling. When's the last time you trembled in the presence of God? You ever been in such a wonderful place? And I believe the Bible teaches us very clear. You ever been in a place with your Lord and Savior and you were afraid? You thought, well, if I could lock in right here, this is a good place to die. Oh, I don't want to come out of this right now. This is such a wonderful place. Listen, God's presence is so beautiful, so holy. He's allowed us to come in there. Here we are, we're there. And I'm going to serve Him with fear. I'm rejoicing, but I'm trembling. God says that this salvation, not when you all are just here, but when I'm alone, to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. My salvation, that God's in me, that I'm before Him, that this salvation I should work out with fear and trembling. God, the word of God keeps saying this. My life is drifting off. It don't seem to match in the Bible. You better fear God. You can say all you want to say. You can say, but I believe. But God says, is your life in the Bible? Are you seeing what He sees? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If you have an inclination to leave God, I recommend you to tremble. You have nowhere else to go. I recommend if you can take light of God, hear the Word of God, I recommend to you to tremble. I would say if you can look to the Word of God and say it's become numb, I become dull, I would say it's a good time to start fearing God and start trembling. Because you've taken the Word of God and lessened it down to common man. But you can put in a CD. You can put on a song. People say, I'm a Christian. They look at pornography continually. Is that possible? Look at all the rate of this. Where's the fear of God? Divorce rates are higher, highest amongst the supposed Christians. Fear of God? What? Profanity out of your mouth? What? The fear of God? The fear of God is this, that He's with you all the time. How do you feel right now? See, people want God to be just here. But God is, if He's within you and of a truth, He's when you go to bed, He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. Is that the God that you serve? Yes, Lord, there's no other way. I repent, I can't. I need help. You got me backed in. It is who I am. I can't get away. You're so holy. I got to keep looking your way or I'll perish. Just do what you got to do. Lord, by faith, I'm just believing. I don't want to die in this state. That's the Christian faith. That's fearing God. That's working out what God has worked in. That's when God says, I've come in my gentle kindness when you hated me, you were an enemy, you rebelled. I come in such a gentleness, I convicted your heart, you refused. And then finally, I came and I tenderly called you and you came. And I gave you, my Son had purchased, redeemed you. And now, you're further away than you ever were. You ever seen this? And I'll tell you like it was. I grew up a young boy in church. It comes time for the young people to get saved. Young people get saved, they just got worse. What happened? What's these false conversions going on in our day? I got saved just to please the parents because then I can get on with work, marriage, this, that, and they just start to cane. Listen, I thought Christian was supposed to get better. Your mouth was supposed to get cleaner. Your eyes were to get purer. Some of us bash on Lot, but it says he was vexed, his righteous soul, from day to day in seeing and hearing. At least he didn't like what he heard and seen. Christians like what they hear and see. They like it, and they like it. They just put some banner over their hearts, and it's really a callous. You're supposed to get better. The Bible teaches us. Let me just read a Bible verse. The unescapable Word of God, just it's how can we get away from some of this? I'll never know. God, He's good to us. He's going to keep calling to us. You say, oh, don't discourage me. I want something else. There's nothing else to offer. That's it. It's all I have. It's all we got today, children. Peanut butter and jelly. It's all we got. The fear of God. That should bring you joy. The Bible says it makes me happy. They were walking in the fear of God in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, because where the Holy Ghost is the presence of God. And where the presence of God, my heart quakes and says, God, that's me. I stop. I sin in the name of Jesus Christ. I come and I bow again, and I keep bowing. I think that's the Christian life. To just profess I'm a Christian, and then all of a sudden I can do my thing. Finally, I broke through the barriers. I got to that age of accountability. I stood in front of the church. I did this. I did that. I just cuss more. I see more. I'm angry more. Everything's more and more. But somehow or another, I'm at this heavenly Jerusalem. I'm less holy. But somehow, the Spirit of God there, and I remember when I sung a song, I felt real blessed in my soul. Put a CD in. Wow, I feel really good. Turn it off. Get on your knees. You can't pray for 30 seconds because God will smite you right there. That's holiness. When God says, you come my way, you don't come the world's way, don't come with vain imaginations, that's God. That's the God that we serve. No other way. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty, but we all with open face. Finally, all the confusion's gone, right? It says, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, the glory of the Lord. Finally, finally it arrives, salvation has come. I see Him, the glory of God. I'm not calling Him, what's up, dude? He's not this, He's not that. He's not the undertones of multiple words. He's God. God, I don't want to say another word. I don't want to reframe and lessen it and make it weak. God, I'm even... Come on. It's pretty simple. If I'm seeing what I could never have seen and I was scared, and now that I see what I see and He says, you can keep looking. Keep looking and I'm going to change you. And you'll say, I actually have desire to be changed. What happened to me? Called getting saved. It's not that hard to be. If He says you're new creation, then why not just go ahead and get new? I don't see what's so hard about it. If God said something He would do, why get worse? And if you're getting worse, stop trembling. If you're leaving God, if you're tempted to leave God, if the devil can get you to think that for 1 second, and your fear lessens, your faith is plummeting down. You say, I got all the faith. You can drum it up all you want, but if you ain't got holiness to go with it, you're going down. You can believe and you can recite, I believe, all day long, but the heart is cold. The heart don't fear God. You won't go to that place. You only ask in faith amiss to consume it upon your own lust. God, help me in this area. God says, no, I spoke to you, and you disregard me. So let's not take it. He says, if we are changed from image to image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, then, I guess we're supposed to have been changed then. If we're getting worse, I can only say this. If we're getting worse, supposedly we're supposed to get better, there's nothing good to say except the devil can transform himself into an angel of light. That's all I can say. Don't live the lie. David, don't live a lie. We're all in this together, right? Okay, so now a couple of themes. I read to you in Psalm 2. I'm going to read Matthew 28:8. Now you need to sit back and enjoy a couple of Bible verses. We're going to read here Matthew 28:8, and give you an idea of where the Holy Ghost is. what liberty in Christ is, continuing in this thing. I've shared with you before about it, but I kind of got to thinking, everyone says that. I remember sometimes I say stuff, I'm like, we hear that all over the place. But I'm telling you this, when do we hear the fear of God in these days we live in? You don't. That's Old Testament. You hear people say, that's Old Testament. I'm like, are you kidding me? Well, something happened to me. What I thought I used to fear God, so shallow. I was scared that he would take me and throw me in hell. Now guess what? I reverence him more. Now I know for sure, for sure, for sure, for sure I deserve hell. And God for sure, for sure, for sure isn't going to send me there. And what I for sure, for sure, for sure see is so good. I can only say, God help me. I think it's a good place to be. And I want to stay there. And if I have any inclination of anything of dullness in that area, I plead with you. You better start trembling because you're on your way out. Faith is not just a mere word. It's not just something you write. You ain't going to control God by your simple faith. God's sovereign and on his throne. He knows the intents of your heart thoroughly than your self-provoked faith. God knows he's so sovereign. He says, you said by faith you would stop sinning, and you're not. And then you come and say, God, give me this, give me that, and move in God like he's some, you give him permission to come down to here. That's what some people believe. It's nonsense. People say you got to give God permission to step out of heaven by your faith. Oh, friend, what have we done to our Creator? Crazy. 28:8. 28:8. So as Christ rose again, and they departed quickly from the sepulcher, Christ rose again from the dead. It says, with fear and great joy. With fear and great joy. Just hold that in your mind. I'll give you a little bit of a thought. Brother Jerry's been going through this. He's probably hit it. He's going to keep hitting it. But all I know is there are a lot of great things that happened in the book of Acts. Great grace, great power. The Bible mentions great fear. When they continued in the apostles' doctrine, things just increased. The presence of God increased, and so does the fear increase. It's an impossibility to get away from this, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We're like, whew, praise the Lord. That we got that. We love fellowship, don't we? What kind of fellowship do you like? I tell you what, I think there's some, we just straight out honest, there's some pure out discouragement on this way of fellowship sometimes. Y'all been there? Oh God, what are we going to do with fellowship? God have mercy if any of you taint any of these good Christians, false fellowship. How dare you say that? No, how dare you say that? How dare the world come in and creep around, sneaking in, and we just sit here like cowards and don't call it? Listen, the Bible's very clear. We got doctrine, yes, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. It says, and fear came upon every soul. Fear is mixed with faith to accompany it, to protect you along life's journey, so your salvation can be worked out with fear and trembling for the glory of God. Fear came upon every soul. People today, I'll tell you what, I remember as a young boy, I saw it too many times, the fear of God fall in a church house, and I would recommend a double dose of that every day. I remember coming to sitting down for anything and happened, and the whole church would just start weeping. Nothing happening. Fear of God. I remember as a young boy, for I was lost, just seeing the whole place lined out with people just crying out, repenting of sin, and wouldn't stop. I remember my mom beating the altar God, help me. Help me with bitterness. Looking back, she'd look up. I'm way in the back, scared to death. Like, what's happening in this church? Became more normal. But we're under the fear of God, the influence of the fear of God. I'm not going to reach for a phone and without a message. God's in this place. President pulls up. Everyone's like, children, get your act together. God's in the place. We can do anything because why? God's invisible. We can get away with anything. But bring someone visible here. You can gird up your loins, can't you? Oh, president's here. Children, stay put. Stay in your seat. Quit acting up. God's here. We can do anything because we can't see God, right? Fear of God. See, that's something that's a blessing. I thank God that He nudges me, smites me. The fear of God is so beautiful. How would I go on? Jeremiah 32 says, you can't go on. He had to do this to me. He had to impart fear to me. God said, I'm going to teach you the fear of the Lord. I'm going to make a covenant with you. You are? Yeah, I'm going to give you something you don't have. What is it, Lord? You don't fear me. You need a regenerating change in your heart. But Lord, I'm going to keep working at it, fear. I'm reading this book. No. You know your struggles. You know your sins. You don't hate them. I don't hate them? Mm-mm. You have no fear of God. You don't see me. There's no fear of God for your... God, I'm saved. No, you're not. You see that? That's the lost man. But God, I know with the Bible, Jesus died. I cried when I watched a movie. I cried when they played a song. But you don't hate sin. You're not like my son. My son didn't weep in the garden with strong tears and supplication. His obedience was linked. And God heard his son because then he feared. And you say, we're Christian. We're like Christ. And faith just floats around in air all the time. There's no soundness in doctrine, no soundness in the move of the Spirit of God. There's no solemn stopping of the mouth till God comes in. He puts an end to it. He says, you fear me, zero. I've placed in front of you enough, and you always say no. Then you say, okay, God, I'm lost. You get saved, and God then does regenerating work. Gives you, breaks off a piece of his good old-fashioned holiness and imparts in you with the Spirit of God. As the Spirit of God comes into you, the regenerating work of God, the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, he comes in and plants to you a principle and the seed of fear that you never had before. And you go, I see. I can see. And you begin your Christian walk. What a blessing. So they continued all through the book of Acts. Here they were barreling through. I don't like when I get so far and I got all these verses I got to do, and I always end up cutting it short. That's fine, though. Acts 9. I'll read 9:31. I like this one. I've said it already, but I'm going to read it word for word. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. Edified. It's a good word. And walking in the fear of the Lord. You New Testament Christian, we're afraid of God? You'll say, now wait a minute. Is it I thought perfect love casts out fear. We're not talking about that fear, right? Remember, we're not talking about that. God has not given us the spirit of fear. We're not talking about that type of fear. We're talking about a fear that's directly from the divine nature of God given to you. The fear of God is when the heart and the mind sees all of who He is, and it's overcome with that, and you see all of who you are, and the only thing left to do is just to worship God and reverence Him, revere Him, and this awesome, His holiness and everything. Because why? He brought me to a place I couldn't come. He brought me to Himself. It's divine. We call it being born again. Okay, 1 Peter 3. Now, I was telling you about the fruit of the Spirit. You go through, look up love, joy, meekness, kindness, temperance, faith. Look up all these. And if you can separate and not have the fear of God, I want you'll start connecting that in your Bible. Start looking that up. The Bible just mentioned here, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Sounds very spiritual to me, doesn't it? And then be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness. Okay, I got meekness. We like that. I love that. I'm bearing fruit of the Spirit. But then what does he say? In fear. How can those two dynamics be together all the time? Walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. They saw Jesus raised from the dead. Go tell my brethren. It says when they took off, they had fear and joy. Psalm 2:11 said, fear, rejoicing together. Joy goes with fear. I'm so joyful when I'm resting in the fear of God. If I don't have the fear of God going with my faith, I'm going to err. I'm going to fall into false teaching. I'm going to hear the lies of the devil. God, help me. The things I see now, the things that we call the Spirit of God must enjoin me to the fear of God. Unless this grace is in vain, when it is. If you are not being changed, you don't work on joy. You don't work on faith. You don't boss God around. You obey God. God, I believe. I'll obey. Abraham, give me your son. But God, I'm going to play a praise and worship song dedicated to you. I don't have to give you my only son. No. God wants the depth of you. He's wanting you to stop thinking the way you're thinking. He's wanting you to stop doing what you're doing and watching and hearing. He's wanting it over with. That's the God you serve. And you say, now I got peace and joy. But what's with it? The fear of God. I'm afraid to depart from you, God. I'm so scared. I feel so cold in heart. What if? This is not a good feeling. Shake and tremble. God's in you. Work out your salvation. Fear and tremble. Okay. A couple more verses. We're done. 1 Peter 1:17. God says this. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all, not some, all manner of conversation, your conduct of life, holy in your conduct of life. Now watch. This is why. Because it is written, because he says, be holy, for I am holy. God, I'm not being holy that I'll be saved. I'm holy because now you're holy and I'm where you are. And Christ said that, didn't he? If you ain't holy, your faith is bankrupt. Grace is distorted. And you're lost under the wrath of God. It's a lie. The fruit of the Spirit. You don't sit there and go, oh, I'm so happy, positive attitude. No, it's submissive to the presence of God. Walking in the fear of God. And those things just come. They're from God. I don't work on those, on the fruit of the Spirit. They possess of His. And by faith I come. And through Christ I adore. But what I see, I fear. God, you're so holy. And then all of a sudden you're like, I'm here. I'm in His presence. I'm joyful. See, now you see a difference. God, I'm breaking into heaven to get robbed joy. But I'm not going to obey you. God, look over there. Grab His joy and run. No. Meekness. Temperance. I'm going to bring this body in subjection with fasting. I'm going to whip myself. I'm going to beat myself like some of the old reformers did before they got saved. I'm going to do it because God says the fruit of the Spirit. I said, no. By faith you come. Yes, through Christ you come. But what do you see? I see holiness. God. I fear that if I won't have control, because I want to stay here. What I'm seeing, I like. It's what's best for me. It's called a change of heart. It's called being saved. Okay. For as much as you know, and if you call on the Father, who without respect to persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time, your time, my time, pass the time of your sojourning here, right now, in fear. New Testament. New Testament teaching. He says this, God says, I'm holy, be holy. Then God went ahead and just a little bit further. He said, without a respect to a person, I don't care who you are. You know your life, your journey in this life. We love to say, I'm just a sojourner passing through. But you ain't got holiness, you ain't going to end up where the sojourners are going. You're deceived. It says it like this. Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. That's just who God is. The Lord of hosts. Fear. It's a good thing. It's healthy. Thank you, God, for protecting me. You brought about a new birth in my heart. And every time I go to the road, there's something in me that just goes, you can't do that. It's a protector. The fear of God says, you're going to lose everything. You'll say, is that your own fear? No, that's God. He's heightened the conscience. He's heightened the soul. He's brought about. He's in you. He says, and then when you look, you're like, oh, passing the time my sojourning here in fear. Idolatry, money. Oh, yeah. Burn it. You see how repentance is born? Remember the church when they kicked him out? Remember that? And he was brought back in. The church, Paul wrote them a strong letter about dealing with disciplining the church, a sinful man. When they repented, the Bible says, what zeal, what vehement desire. But then he says, what fear. God says, repent. And you say, fear and trembling, right? God, I have to. That's all I see now. I just see you're too holy, but this is, I'm backed in a corner. I want to stay a Christian. I want to continue. But God, I keep seeing that. It looks so ugly. God's saying, remember, sojourning here in fear, pass your time. I'm holy. You want to stay here? You want the goods? You want the fruit of the Spirit? You want joy? You want all these things? Time, you must continue to obey. We can continue believing. But if you're continuing believing, you're continually fearing. And if fear drops off, your faith is wrong and grace is perverted and you're lost. You must continue in this fashion. And no, it's not 1 ounce of works. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I'm working out my salvation because something's roaring in me. I have a volcano that once where the commandments of God were shouting from a mountain on fire and animals went and died, but now the Lord of hosts is in me. And you say, I'm not under to do anything. I'm free in Christ. Oh no, the commandments written on your heart are closer than they ever were. And you ain't getting away. God's closer than you ever could and would be. It's called holiness. You can go ahead and do what you want to do, but I'm sticking to my guns on this one, and I'll die on this hill. This is God's hill. This is Calvary's hill. My last one, and I'll be done. I've been saying it, but I just sometimes like to turn there. To get it in case I miss one word or anything. Better yet, I just thought of it. There is something I would have probably had missed. Well, I didn't think I'd make it this far. I guess I did. Philippians. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. Apostle Paul, great apostle. What a privilege to be under an apostle Paul, right? Miracles, authoritative preaching, teaching, love. It's just his sacrifice, the living sacrifice, the blazing fire of God in his life. And Paul said it like this. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only. I wish some of you just take out dad and mom right there. And I know what the devil's going to tell you. You understand, my dad and mom ain't like Apostle Paul. Yeah, but we already knew that. You're going to say that. That's a given. Right? Because we're Christians. Right? We always say those things. You'll stand one day by yourself, and I would exhort you, when you're alone, fear of God would rest over your life, by yourself, in your car, in that phone of yours. Oh boy. I don't know what to say. I really don't. If we could say there's never been a wicked thing come up on the phone, I think every last one of us would be alive. If Christ was there over the corner, I didn't intentionally do it, those goofy ads. Or intentionally, you'll say, boy, I love this heavenly Jerusalem. Sure is nice. Lord, your joy is so beautiful, so kind to forgive my awful, wicked rebellion against you. I don't fear you. God, will you go over there for a minute? Yeah, that was pretty cool. Ain't going to work. Everything will be recorded. Fear, tremble, shake what you will. Some of us need to pass out, get with God. If you lost feelings for God in those internal parts of yours, if your heart don't beat and thump when you stand here and make your profession in Christ, if you've left that, how much further are you going to go? All the way. Fear, tremble that salvation. Oh, what if you miscarriage halfway? You've gone so far. You fought and won battles. You're going to miscarriage the faith. You'll say, it proved out. God said, that's who you really were. It's just a matter of time. And lastly, but now, much more my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both these two things, to will. Thank you, God, for giving me pressure to will and to do of your good pleasure. God, by the Spirit of God and by faith through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, of all the great promises, Lord, you didn't remove your fear. And God, I'm here. And I'm in your presence. And you didn't get any less. I just got nearer. And because I'm nearer, I got to get better. And if I'm getting worse, maybe I'm not in the presence of God in your law. And how many years can you continue like that? Because without holiness, no man, no woman shall see the Lord. Take that in every area of your life, internal and external. Yes, external. Go right ahead. Do what you want to do. But all I know is my God in heaven has what you want to call holy, holy. That's scary, isn't it? God's going to lay down the rules in heaven. I'm not going to do what I want to do. I'm not going to pull no fast one. That heart of yours that says no one knows, but inside I'm having great pleasure of thinking of lost things, of no attributes of God. Oh, Is that Christ coming? Oh, we're all going home. What are you going to do? Oh, I wish I could think good now. I wish I could repent now. And you would beg, God, if I could just say I'm sorry. I don't have that in my heart. It's so hard. You keep resisting God, you'll say it can't happen. Because all I remember is that day when I cried when I watched that movie of Jesus on the cross. That's not enough. May God bless us walking in the fear of God. May God bless us as we serve Him continually to the end. Unto the end. That's where I'm looking to. You might start well, but I want to end well. That's where my heart is. I thought maybe it sure would be a lovely thing. I had a song I thought of. I wanted to maybe it sing, and someone can help me sing it. In the red book, 390 in this red book. I don't know what to say. All I know is this will just say it all. I mean, why even try to? Abraham, here you go, Abraham. He put his son up on that altar, didn't he? There he is. And then, out of nowhere, Abraham, and he said, here I am. That's a good blessing right there. Lord, call your name. And then guess what? Now this is before them old Ten Commandments came about. Father of faith, before the law, faith. Now watch faith obey. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know, this is God saying it, that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. God said, now I know, father of faith, faith and fear. Abraham said, I believe in God. And he didn't even go. He didn't even put his son on the altar. Put him there, going to kill his son, knowing that God would raise him from the dead. God said, whoa, now I know. You obey. Your faith believes. And your faith, God says, now I know that you fear. See, God's voice, when he says go, you go. When God said, Noah, before the law, Noah, by faith, right? He built an ark, but he says that he moved with fear. Because he's saying, I believe God's voice, but if I don't move, I'm making his word to be down to the lowest common denominator, just like me and you talk. But God says, build an ark. Noah said, now, doing it with fear. So God bless you in your journey. If you're not in this journey, if you're not on this journey, if you're afraid of death or die, the wrath of God is on you. That kind of fear, the one that strikes you to the core, you can be saved. Oh, yes. Sin is a mountain. Yeah, sure. Pride. Sure. Things. Tomorrow. Of course, you can do it tomorrow. Sure. Maybe. If you're here today and you're scared that you've been drifting, your faith, you're sinning against God. There's no other way to say it. Some of you have been on your knees. You're just burdened about yourself. I'm there a lot. Lord, it's me again. I got to keep looking. Because what I see is so good. I have to be changed. God give you grace. Is your all on the altar? Brother John, you ought to sing that kind of for us, Arlen or someone here. God bless you. I just remember when I was young. I don't know. If it sounds manipulative, let it be, but it's not. I was a young boy. I'm just telling you. God, I stood behind the pulpit when I got converted, age 20, countless times in tears, just weeping, sick and tired of sin, fighting the devil, fighting the flesh, fighting the world. And all I'm saying is, there's times in my life when God's fear was so near. And maybe some of you have been here, that if you don't obey God, you're probably going to die. You know in your heart that you can't go on like this no more. If you don't get sanctified, clean, cleansed, get free, oh, the wonderful face of Jesus will dissipate. You'll become worse, worse, worse. I recommend the Spirit of God. Of course, most things, if you don't like things that happen now in the midst of people, but if God has touched your heart, I say it not, if you know that you haven't and you've been dealing with sin, you've been confessing sin, and God's rooting sin out, I'm not telling you to do something you don't feel right on. But if you feel that God has put his finger on you, why would you wait the blessing? Fear and joy. Now watch this. Say, I'm fearful of what man thinks. You're not fearing God right now. You'll never get a piece of that joy. They got to go together. And if you feel you have a repentant heart, repent. If you're lost, believe. Repent, believe. Confess. Just go wild for God. I don't know what to say. I don't know how much wilder you can get. I mean, get a crying, screaming, throw a fit. Sometimes you just can't take it. I've laid prostrate on floors, ground by myself, and in front of the body. I've bore repentance because God's fear has been there. I tell you what, it don't feel good, but it sure is beautiful when it's over. God puts his finger. God loves you. See, now that's true love when I say that. See, God loves you. He don't want me. He's wanting to purge me from all hypocrisies. All his brother Jerry is preaching on end. All that, listen, I'm just a frail man. I'm not trying to manipulate you, but I don't know what could be said, and probably nothing except just obey God. And if you obey God, we're going to know about it. Your quiet Christianity can't linger much longer. If you ain't confessing, repenting, believing, and telling others, your life is just quiet in Christianity, but such an uproar and carnality. Come on. We need to carry those ways. Hey, let's sing this song, and Lord bless you.